strokes touch many families at some point, probably touched your family. It's touched my family, and depending on the severity of it and how quickly a patient gets treatment, there can be some serious long-lasting effects on the whole family. But there's an exciting new program out there for stroke survivors and their loved ones. It's called Stroke Camp, and we're going to find out all about it today and how you might get involved with it. Our guests have two guests for you. Dr. Justin Satin is an assistant professor of neurology at the UW, and he's completed extra training in addition to board certifications in neurology and vascular neurology. He's medical director of the UW Comprehensive Stroke Center and helped start the Wisconsin Telestroke Network, which provides timely stroke consultation to rural hospitals. And Dr. Satin, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
As well, Chris Welly is the a master's trained registered nurse and one of the first nurses in Wisconsin to be certified in stroke care. She coordinates the UW Comprehensive Stroke Program. She's helped organize Wisconsin's first stroke camp for survivors and loved ones. And Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time to be here. And I hope we'll get some calls. Maybe you're the loved one of a stroke survivor. Does a program like Stroke Camp, may that appeal to you? Do you know the warning signs of a stroke? Well, all those things we can talk about at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And maybe, Dr. Satin, we just start out with some basics here. What is a stroke exactly?
Well, a stroke is a disruption of brain function. The brain, like all the organs of the body, needs blood in order to work. And if an artery supplying the brain with blood gets plugged up with a clot, which is the usual kind of stroke, then a sector of the brain stops working, and the person has various neurological symptoms that that flow from that.
Okay. So what kind of – I assume there's long-lasting effects, obviously – can be long-lasting effects to a stroke.
Right. So the long-lasting effects are often similar to the ones that that are at the beginning of the stroke. So weakness on one side of the body, numbness on one side of the body, inability to see out of one eye or off to one side, trouble talking or understanding, difficulty with balance and coordination. And so those are the symptoms of a stroke, usually very abrupt in onset. And then if the stroke isn't promptly treated, then those symptoms can persist and they cause disability over many years for people.
And when you say treated pretty quickly, what are we talking about here?
Well, the best proven treatment is a so-called clot-busting drug called TPA, tissue plasminogen activator. It's a synthesized version of a chemical that the body produces that dissolves blood clots. And so that's been synthesized, and it can be given as an injection to somebody within the first few hours of the stroke. And it's been shown to help dissolve those blood clots and improve the chance for making a recovery.
Yeah. I remember my dad's stroke. He actually lost his voice, so he couldn't speak. I mean, he survived and all that, but lost his voice and couldn't speak for quite a long time. He and my mother took off for had a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and he went out and sat in a boat and fished, and on his own taught himself to speak again, which was, it was a difficult process for him. And he, one of these people, he's going to do it on his own and so forth. But there are some help out there and there's some assistance. And I'd love to know a little bit more about this stroke camp, Chris. Can you talk with us about the help?
Sure. Well, you know, the stroke camp isn't really... I wouldn't say it's the type of thing you would use if you have a speech problem and you want to to learn to talk again. But there are a lot of therapeutic events. This is just a weekend, and and I want to say it's sort of like your dad going to the cabin. It's going to be in a nice hotel setting with people have their own private bathrooms, so they won't be intense. I just want to make sure you can.
Yeah.
So, and it's a retreat and refresh. So the idea is to have some fun, to go out there and to fish and to boat and. There's a little bit of educational programs and to just relax in a setting with people who are facing similar struggles. Sometimes people get isolated when they're a family and they've had someone's had a stroke. But also there are people who are out in our community working with strokes who just want to talk to somebody else about what they're feeling and what they're going through.
So there's some sort of program, but there's a lot. Sounds like there's a lot of open time and
there's lots of options for fun things to do. There's some educational offerings, but it's definitely a mix of socialization, education, relaxation, and support.
And so, and the support set. What kind of support is available there?
Well, there are. An equal number of volunteers as there are stroke survivors. And then there's also going to be music therapists and people who will lead different educational things like the pharmacist. But we've also made sure that all the rooms are have what's needed for each support, excuse me, for each stroke survivor. They all get screened. We only have a few slots left, and we're only we don't have a lot of room, but we're really excited about.
Oh yeah, the opportunity and where out there. Give us the where and the when and all.
Oh yeah, it's October 4th, 5th, and 6th, and it's in Green Lake, Wisconsin, which is just beautiful.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm excited to go volunteer there. and if they go to strokecamp.org, there is a link there to register. You just search Wisconsin, and there's only one stroke camp in Wisconsin.
And it's right near the lake.
It's on the lake.
On the lake.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's truly beautiful. I went up to clear out the site to make sure, you know, that everything was the way we wanted it, and it's a beautiful place.
And who attends this then? It's
stroke survivors and caregivers. So people who live with the stroke survivor. And you don't have to bring a caregiver if you're an independent person. We have people coming who are, you know, like I said, working and fully fine. And then we have some people who have more disabilities. But we have activities for absolutely everyone so that no matter what your level of disability is, you can participate.
And is there, I assume, a cost involved with this?
Yes, there is a cost. It's a bargain cost, and it's $100 a person for the weekend for... For our food and lodging and everything included.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's subsidized. The UW is subsidizing it.
Yeah.
There are, you know, if people have some kind of difficulty affording it, they can call and talk to the number that's at the website.
Dr. Satin, what benefits do you see for stroke survivors to attend a camp like this?
Well, I think there are several. As Chris mentioned, it can be isolating to have a stroke. The person is encumbered with neurological impairments that are different than what a lot of folks see every day. I mean, we're used to seeing people in wheelchairs with canes or whatever, but if you're having trouble speaking, we call that aphasia. It's not always recognized, oh, this is somebody who must have had a stroke. Some people know that. A lot of people don't. It can be very isolating. So I think that being in an environment with other people who have shared some of the same struggles, the same rehabilitation course, is beneficial to them. And I think it's also worth mentioning the value for the caregivers as well. It's very difficult to care for someone it can be very difficult to care for someone who's had a stroke. Often they need a lot of physical assistance. It's wearing on the family. And so I think the support's as much for the families as it is for the patients themselves to swap stories with others who've been through the same struggles.
Oh, so it really does sound like what a... Oh, sort of a renewal, or sort of a, I think kind of renewing in a way.
Yes, you know? Yes. Refresh. That's the name of it. Is Retreat and Refresh Stroke Camp is what it's called, actually.
So what a wonderful opportunity. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have a question or comment maybe about the camp or maybe about strokes in general. We'd certainly love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. You may be the loved one of a stroke survivor. Maybe you are a stroke survivor. Certainly your experiences would be interesting to hear about. 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. What do you have some words of encouragement that you offer to caregivers? You talk with about caregivers.
Definitely. I was thinking you were going for stroke survivors, so I was all geared up for that because people continue to make improvements, you know, for years, as you said with your dad, and that's what people do say, that they see improvement on and on, even though the largest improvement is in the beginning. But for caregivers, I think that the community has become much more understanding of the challenges that are faced, and there are more things to try and support those people. And actually, the woman who started this whole Retreat and Refresh Stroke Camp was a caregiver, and she and her husband loved to camp, and so that's how they ended up doing this. And we have a support group also on once a month on Thursdays for people who have experienced aneurysms and strokes, and people come to that and talk about their struggles. And they find a lot of support with each other, being able to discuss things they've learned along the way to help them make life easier.
Yeah. And before we go to the phones here, typical warning signs of a stroke are, Dr. Satin?
So abrupt onset, usually one side of the body, weak, numb, tingling, can't see, can't talk, off balance. Or for the other kind of stroke, which is less common, where you bleed into your brain. Mm-hmm. So the symptom for that is the abrupt onset of the worst headache you've ever had. You're just fine, and then suddenly you're on the floor in terrible pain. So that's a hemorrhage into the brain until proven otherwise.
Hey, Larry, there is a nice little short thing I just want to share that we use.
Yeah.
It's called FAST, F-A-S-T, for people to help them remember face, arm, speech, and time, so that people can look, have someone smile, see if their face is a little crooked, arm, put their arms out, see if they are not equal when they hold them out, and speech, are they having difficulty speaking or understanding what's being said, and that's
the last
one
was
time. Call 911.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. And do it right. Don't wait.
Yeah,
that's the operative word here. Our guest today, Dr. Justin Satin, who is an assistant professor of neurology at the UW-Madison. Chris Welly is a master's trained registered nurse, one of the first nurses in Wisconsin to be certified in stroke care. And they're going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. Lots of callers online to visit with you. And we'll get to those phones right after we take a little time to take a look at the news. And we'll be back with our guests right after the news. Strokes are scary, and they can change a person's life in an instant, of course. But it isn't just the stroke survivor who lives with the impact. It's their family and their caregivers as well. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Good to have you along today on the Ideas Network. There's an exciting new program available in Wisconsin that provides some relief and recreation for stroke survivors and their loved ones. It's called Stroke Camp. We're talking about strokes in general and about the camp today with Chris Welly, who's a master's trained registered nurse. She coordinates the UW Comprehensive Stroke Program and helped organize this first stroke camp. Chris, great to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Larry.
And also with us today, Dr. Justin Satin, who is an assistant professor of neurology at the UW-Madison. He's medical director of the UW Comprehensive Stroke Center. And great to have you with us as well, Dr. Satin. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
We have callers online with questions. You may have a question about strokes or about stroke camp, symptoms, and so forth. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And let's take a call from Sue in Milwaukee first. Sue, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling just to put out there, my husband had a stroke 9 years ago. He was 38. The only symptom he had was tingling in his hand and down the right side of his body. He had a brain bleed in the sensory part of his brain where there was no nerve ending. So no paralysis, no headache, none of that. And we actually called the nurse hotline from our insurance, talked to her for probably a good half an hour, and she thought maybe he had pinched a nerve, but said go get checked out, and turned out it was a stroke.
Wow.
So I just wanted to put that out there that, you know, and that was his only symptom, just the feeling that the right side of him had fallen asleep.
Yeah. Dr. Sam?
So that's the difficulty with stroke, is that the manifestations can be so protean. You know, everybody knows that if you have heaviness in the chest, that's a heart attack, you call 911. But the brain does so many different things that the symptoms of a stroke are quite varied, and some of them are relatively mild. And it sounds like your husband was quite fortunate in that he had only the sensory disturbance, not that that's not serious. But the more mild or nonspecific the symptoms are, the easier it is to miss the diagnosis, unfortunately. The clue in this case is that the numbness and tingling was the whole body, whereas with a pinched nerve, for example, it would just be in the arm or the leg, but usually not both. So a careful attention to the story will often lead to the right diagnosis.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Sue. Well, that's a good thing, definitely a good thing for people to be aware of and know. Carol in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a bed and breakfast in Appleton, and I'm a retired RN. And every fall, we get the business kind of slows down here, and I got the brilliant idea to open our home to caregivers so they could have rest and respite for their taking care of their loved ones. We had our parents in our home here for a long, long time, and we got caregiver burnout, which I wasn't even aware of as a nurse. And I wrote down some of the symptoms. If you have caregiver burnout, you are tired when you wake up in the morning. You feel that your life is like a roller coaster ride. Someone has told you your personality has changed. You have little or no time for yourself and hobbies. And you have not laughed or cried in a long, long time. We felt that was a good way to open our home, our beautiful home, for people that aren't taking care of someone until they are so tired they can't even think anymore. It's like being on a vacation. You feel refreshed and renewed when you're done. So just want to let everybody know about it.
Oh, that's cool. What's the name of your bed and breakfast?
It's the Appleton Inn in downtown Appleton, and it's called The Appleton Inn. And lots of information about caregiver care is on my website. I also wrote a thing about caregivers' rights, the rights you have as a caregiver, the right to feel, the right to take care of yourself. With my RN background, this came really easily for me. And I just think it would be a good way to use our home in the wintertime when, you know, there isn't a lot of stuff going on in Appleton.
Carol, thanks a lot for calling. Chris Welly, comment from you.
Wow, that's wonderful. I was interested to hear what kind of things they had to say about it, just because, I think it's a similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
Caregiver burnout is a very big concern, and we're finding it actually in all types of caregivers across the spectrum, that nurses and physicians and all types of people actually suffer from that. And so people who are at home with a caregiver and 24-hour responsibility, of course, are really at high risk.
Yeah, very much. Carol, thanks again.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. And I should tell you, Carol, that Chris wrote down all the information.
Thanks, Carol.
She wrote down all the information, so she may follow up with you. Annie in Ashland, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I was wondering about the main age range of this stroke camp, because I have a niece who's going into first grade, and she had a stroke when she was 3. And we try to, like, give her whatever opportunities we can, but it's hard because she's not ever around other kids like her.
Yeah. That's a really good question. Chris, comment?
Well, that's great that that you called. I think that this would be a great opportunity for her. I don't know of other children who have signed up yet for this particular camp, but that doesn't mean that she can't participate. And I think that we should definitely be in contact. I do have a number for people too, Larry, just that I'd like to share.
Right.
It's a toll-free number, and it's 1-866-688-5450. And that will give you the central office of Stroke Camp, and they field all the questions because they've got tons of experience, and then they talk to us about specific issues that we need to deal with. But it seems like a 5 or 6-year-old should be able to participate and get something out of the experience, and I bet she would bring a lot for the other people who
are there. Yeah. I think there might be a real synergy there where the older folks might appreciate having a young one around, and the young one might appreciate being able to see other people who have some neurological impairments, and to see that she's not going to grow up in this world all alone.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I hope you follow up on this, Annie.
Yeah, I'll be passing it on to her mom as soon as.
Yeah, the cost is relatively minimal for the weekend. It's October, and I should just mention again, it's October 4th, 5th, and 6th,
mm-hmm.
Green Lake, Wisconsin, right on the lake.
Yeah, it's the convention area there.
It's the Baptist Convention.
900 acre.
Yeah,
park.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
And the place that we're staying is right on the lake, and all of our activities are right on the lake. It's just amazing. It was jaw-dropping. But I would love, if you want to contact me also, I can give you some of my information offline, and we could talk.
So again,
sure.
Yeah, that's 1-866-688-5450, the number. Annie, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. So this, if you're tuning in late, Stroke Camp, we should just sort of repeat that again, so we haven't talked about it in a bit. It's a camp. It's just a sort of a weekend retreat for stroke victims and their caregivers, a chance to get together with other folks who've had a stroke. And you know, Chris, you can tell us better than me. Let's just repeat some of the information there, what people are going to get.
Oh, sure. It's fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Most of all, it's fun. It will be educational, and there'll be socialization, relaxation, and support. I know there are opportunities for chair massages and manicures for people who like that stuff, but there's fishing and boat rides and campfires, you know, with some education sprinkled in, and lots of options for people. So we're trying to make sure that we can meet every need that people have to really just get away and chill out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the 4th, 5th, and 6th, and a fairly small cost associated with this, really cheap.
Yes, $100 for the whole weekend includes room and board. And there are scholarships available for people who are extremely needy. I do want to say everybody has their own bathroom, too. Sometimes that's a big deal. And this is a hotel, not a tent. So
So it's a very nice, very nice place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is gorgeous. So, and there are, I should also say that there are lots of rooms already gone. But there are still a few available, and we certainly, by the end of the show, hope that within an hour or two after the show, they're all gone.
Thanks, Larry. Hope so, too.
We, Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to share that from the support group that I run, people had thought that they might not be eligible to participate in the camp because they had felt like they thought they had a bleed in their brain, which they didn't really think was a stroke, or they had an aneurysm, which they didn't really think was a stroke because of the terminology. People who have had these brain injuries are all welcome, and all levels of disabilities. People have said, I'm not bad enough, or I'm not good enough. So we're trying to really make sure everyone knows they're welcome.
Everybody welcome. Chris in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering if there's ever been anything done as far as for children of stroke. Mother had a serious stroke, the first one when I was 2, and the last one, which happened when I was about 23. And as an adult, you understand that all the focus is on that patient, but as a child, you kind of get shunted aside because everybody's too busy with the stroke thing. And in my case, like, my mother was unable to really teach or any of the things that a mom normally does with her kids. Couldn't walk us to school, couldn't do anything like that. And even when people would come to visit, all the focus is on her. Oh, look, she can sit up now, or look, she can help her.
Mm-hmm. And you're breaking, unfortunately, you're breaking up a bit, Chris, but I think we get the picture here. Chris is wondering, what are there resources, are there help available for the children? I mean, this is something that we really need to, I'm really glad you brought it up. It's because I'm sure that the youngsters are often overlooked. And maybe you can talk about that, Dr. Satin.
Right. I guess this falls into the category of these sort of a little bit less common situations. You know, the average age of a stroke patient is 68. And so usually their children are older and aren't confronted with the same issues of being a toddler or a youngster and having a parent get all the attention. I think the first resource, is always the family. Of course, other folks have to step in and help provide care for the child. Honestly, they have to talk with their social work colleagues to find out what external resources would be available to help out in that situation. But it certainly does raise an important point.
Yeah, it surely does. Somebody else, by the way, wondered if there was any help available. This goes back to the stroke camp again. For transportation to the stroke camp, probably something you, I would guess, haven't probably thought about, but or may not have thought about.
Well, I guess our assumption is that a lot of the folks who are well enough to be out in the community, they can get to their doctor's appointments with help, with a wheelchair van, or with whatever accommodations they usually use. They would use the same ones to get to this event. I think if somebody needs special accommodations, that's another situation where if you were to call the number, get in touch with us, we'll work something out. I mean, we're trying to be as accommodating as possible here so that recognizing that people have special needs.
So that's, again, that's 1-866-688-5450, 866-688-5450, that number to call. And Bill in Viroqua, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I suffered a stroke in 1988 when I was 36. I still have, residual effects. My wife solved the problem of raising 2 children and taking care of a stroke victim by waiting until California disability ran out for me, and then she kicked me out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. But I'm not bitter.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad you called in a way, because I think that one of the unfortunate side effects of this sort of thing is the tremendous pressure that goes on families and in family situations, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's true with lots of neurologic diseases. We hear, you know, that families can't survive these things intact or in the same way. And certainly, when someone experiences a stroke, they become a different person. So their whole life is changed, and that includes their marriage and their relationship with people. Really sorry to hear about your bad your misfortune, Bill. And even though your stroke was quite a while ago, we would still love to, have you come. It's not for people who've only just experienced stroke, but it's for people who have been out there in the community and for a long time and, just know what it's like to go through this and maybe need just to have a good time.
Just to have a good time. Well, you know, that's another reason I'm glad you called, because that's a point we haven't really discussed, and I'm glad you brought that up, that you don't, it, you know, he's had it many years back, but he's still eligible to come to this stroke camp.
Yeah.
And for $100. There you are.
And it sounds like there's the issue of having the relationship break up is still somewhat raw, even mm-hmm. after all these years. And I think being in the company of other people, some of whom may have had, if not the same experience, but at least experiences that fall into the same general category of stress on the family as a result of someone having had a stroke, can be therapeutic for somebody even after all those years.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I hope you can make it. I hope you call and get yourself signed up for it. It sounds like a lot of fun to me. We had a question from Gail. My father and my husband both had hemorrhagic strokes. The treatment differences for hemorrhagic strokes different from the other type stroke?
Yes, they're very different. So obviously, you don't use blood thinners, clot-busting drugs to treat somebody who's bleeding in their brain. So it's 180-degree opposite kind of problem. There has been some research in using drugs that are on the other end of the spectrum that actually promote clotting, so doing the opposite of what these clot busters do. Those, unfortunately, have not panned out in the larger clinical trials. And so right now, we're left with trying to manage the immediate complications of the pressure inside the head, and is the blood getting into the fluid-filled cavities of the brain called the ventricles. And there's some research going on to try to minimize those complications. But aside from that, at the present time, it's basically get through that initial period, avoid the complications, and work towards recovery.
Laura suffers from hemiplegic, is it, migraines that cause her left side to go limp, tingling extremities, visual, auditory sensitivity, serious confusion, can't speak, severe pain. What can I look for when this happens to more or less rule out a stroke?
Yeah, this is a common concern, actually, in my world, because we see a lot of people who not only with stroke, but also with things that mimic stroke, and hemiplegic migraine is a classic example. This is somebody who, as a part of their migraine disorder, get weak on one side of the body, and so it can look just like a stroke. Some of the clues to this are the younger age of onset, the fact that there's not only headache but also other migraine-like symptoms such as flashing lights. Crucially, it's happened over and over again to the person. So if once in a while somebody will come to my clinic and they'll say, I've had 25 TIAs, which is a stroke that stops on its own. I've had 25 TIAs, 25 strokes. But in that circumstance, they've probably never had a stroke at all. They probably have a migraine disorder that's mimicking stroke, because migraines do occur over and over and over again. Stroke or TIA happens once or twice and not dozens of times. So that's the clue, is that if the symptom is exactly the same as you've had before many times, then it's probably not a stroke. But if you have neurological symptoms that are different in any way than the ones you've had before, then it again becomes imperative to call 911, especially as people get older, because eventually, even though they have migraines when they're 20, 30, 40, when they get to be 50, 60, 70, they're back in that age range where stroke is a risk. And so it's important to be able to know the difference in symptoms.
And would migraines be more likely to result in strokes down the road, or if you have them?
Well, that's a good question. There's a very slightly increased risk of stroke in people who have migraine with aura, aura being some neurological symptom like weakness, but more commonly visual disturbance or trouble speaking or numbness or tingling. The increased risk is very small, though, so I don't want the listenership to get worried about something fairly unlikely.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us today. The Stroke Camp sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people. October 4th, 5th, and 6th for $100. You can go to this camp on Green Lake. I would say go to the website. What's the website?
StrokeCamp.org.
StrokeCamp.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can pick it up there. Or if you want a phone, the number is 1-866-688-5450. 1-866-688-5450. Justin, Chris, thank you so much for being with us. They really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
I hope you'll look into this camp. Thank you very much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.